Hey, hey, my friends, this is Kedrod Williams, your host and your executive producer of What's Happening Miami Gardens. And today, we are going to interview one of our leading front-running candidates for the Miami Gardens City Council seat number 4. Her name is Shannon Campbell. And Ms. Campbell, are you on the line with us today?
Yes, yes, I'm here and I'm excited to be here.
We are glad to have you because we are actually exploring the candidates that are running for the city. And I want you to know, first of all, I have a personal stake in this race because you are running for my district where I am. And so I'm especially eager to hear how you plan to lead and guide our city, my city, the great city of Miami Gardens. So having said that, let me ask you a pointed question right out the gate, right off the block. What are you planning to do to make the city of Miami Gardens great as it always has been?
That's a great question, and I'm glad you asked that one first. The city of Miami Gardens, its founding members, established our city on the premise of emphasizing its unique greatness. And with that thought in mind, I do plan to continue that legacy of greatness by adding my voice, my heart, and my commitment to this city with a variety of things that I plan to continue what the city has already in place. First and foremost, our youth empowerment, that's very important to me, as well as the city, as well as the senior relations, and also economic development. And we have some things in place that I'm going to see those through because we have a lot of people terming out, but we need the right people in place, and I am that person.
Okay, well, now, since you mentioned that, now I like the way you were headed with that because right now Felicia Robinson is coming out, and she has done a wonderful job keeping the city of Miami Gardens engaged. One of the things that she was doing was the Meet Me Mondays, which was a pretty successful program, and a lot of the people who showed up were very engaged in a lot of the conversations. Now, you're saying that those foundational things that have already been laid, that you're considering, if all possible, to continue those things.
Yes, and speaking of Ms. Felicia, well, the councilwoman that's in the current seat right now, 4, I have served as her ambassador for the last 3 years. So with that in mind, she's mentored me, and I've learned a great deal from her. And being at those Meet Me Monday meetings have been very informative and enlightening to our residents. We have to be able to bring the information, the facts of what's going on and what's beneficial to our residents. We have to bring it to them because a lot of them can't really come out to the city hall because of the timing of those specific meetings. So we have to adjust and bring the information to where our residents are. So, yes, that is first and foremost on my to-do list. Once I'm in the seat, I will continue to have a monthly meeting, as such as Meet Me Monday, to bring invaluable and important information to our residents.
Well said. I like that. And another thing that you said that I particularly like, and my job is really just to kind of pinpoint some things and to see, really to pluck the heartstring for the city of Miami Gardens. And one of the things that you just said that resonated with me was legacy. You said legacy. Now, I happen to know a few things about you. Your slogan is, the legacy lives on. And now, can you explain that just a little bit?
Well, it's twofold for me. One part of it is this city. The founding members, we had those, Audrey King, who's looking down on us and seeing the progress we've made. Also, we've had Shirley Gibson. We have had Melvin Bratton Sr., Barbara Watson and Oscar Brennan. But last but definitely not least, Aaron Campbell Jr. Yes, those were the founding members. And being the daughter of Aaron Campbell Jr., I saw some things firsthand, and I was able to see and be able to learn how to serve by just being around the founding members from a young person. Basically, the legacy, what they started, the original founding members with this city, and I saw it firsthand because I lived it, is what this legacy is about on one hand. But also on the second hand, it's the legacy of family. We're a family. Yes, Aaron Campbell is my father. He taught me how to serve and how to work for the people, and that's how you benefit when you work for the people. That's truly what it's about when you're in the role of an elected official in this capacity. So I've learned that firsthand. So with that being said, in our community, the city of Miami Gardens, we're a family. We all a family. So we want the legacy of that to live on, and that is my motto and one of my slogans going into this election season.
Now, you know, that's actually a wonderful thing, and actually it works to your advantage because, you see, by being in the city of Miami Gardens at its inception and to see those who – and, in fact, your father did two terms, right?
That is correct.
So having seen him in action and in the building stages and the foundational stage, then certainly you have a keener insight as to where this city was originally purposed to go. So having said that, then I believe that makes you more passionate about the city of Miami Gardens. Now, we're long-term residents, formerly Carroll City and the Bajas and all of that, but when we changed the name of Miami to the city of Miami Gardens, that changed our direction. That put us in a very pivotal point in history. So I applaud you for not only having that legacy beginning, but also to go through that process and see it and then to want to continue it through. That's a great thing. I applaud you.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Now, let me ask you this. I've already indicated to you that you are running for my area, district, residential district 4, council seat 4. And I'm a very particular kind of person. Convince me in about 30 seconds why I should vote for you.
Well, I would say for three reasons. You know, we have a lot. Number one, the seniors. There is a high population of seniors in our community, in particular your area by Brentwood. And I've studied that. Being so, just networking and being around them, I understand them. And being raised also with my grandmother, my dad's mom, being around her as a youngin', I've learned a lot from being around the elders. And I respect them, and I want to see them flourish. Things I've noticed, I would love to see our seniors engage and get that senior center up and running and flourishing. I plan to be there as a guest sometimes and networking with them and bringing educational workshops to them. So I'm going to really, in your particular area, address and continue to support and work with the seniors that are in our community as a whole, as well as the area of Brentwood.
Now, I like that because I know that you're an educator. I know that you deal with young people all the time, and certainly the senior population is often a maligned group. Normally, people are just saying, well, they've lived their lives. They, push them to the side, you know, make way for the young people, make way for the youth. The youth is the future. And I like the fact that you are still concerned and wanting to do great things for our senior population, and that's a great thing. So you touched my heart with that simply because I'm part of that senior population as well. So,
okay.
So that's very helpful to me. But okay. Tell me about you personally, your education, your profession, aside from this aspiration to run for the city of Miami Gardens.
Well, I was educated in the public school system, of course, and I started out once I completed my high school and received my degree there, my diploma, I decided to go on to college. And education, to be honest with you, was something that didn't pop in my head. You know, I was just still trying to figure things out at an 18-year-old coming out of high school. But I landed a job at Brentwood Elementary, and I started out as a cafeteria monitor. Yes, sir. Wiping tables, cleaning up. And I saw some things that I knew by me being raised up as I was and the people I had associated with, I just saw some things where I knew I could better serve my community. So I decided to go change my degree and really focus on education. Took it from there and worked as a cafeteria monitor in the day, and then I was going to school at night. Then, after I kept furthering my degree, I became a paraprofessional. And I no longer was a cafeteria monitor, and I transitioned over to Myrtle Grove Elementary. And they actually called them teacher's assistants back then. But they got away from title teacher's assistants with that title, and they changed it over to paraprofessional. And I continued my education in school, making a difference, working with young people, assisting teachers in the classroom, learning from them. And then I just knew that I could better serve as well. I'm always bettering myself. That's how it's been embedded in me, always allowing myself to be coachable and teachable and bettering myself. So I continued my education, got my degree in bearing exceptionality. And it took me a little longer to complete that because I didn't want any limitations on me. So I took extra classes because I did bearing exceptionality so I could cover the whole spectrum. And I'm certified K through 12. So that's a biggie. Some people just get their certifications in high school or middle school or elementary. I'm certified K through 12. So, and I've worked in the educational, actually pre-K on up to 11th grade. And once I finished that degree, I did pursue leadership because me being me, I saw myself on another scale, allowing myself to continue to grow. So I continued my education, and I received my master's degree in leadership from Nova Southeastern University, and I graduated with honors. So being in the field, taking on different courses, pursuing best so I could better serve others, it wasn't necessarily I was bettering myself, but I always saw where I wanted to better help others as well. So that's why I pursued my education and became an educator as I have and went on to do leadership roles in various entities.
Well, you know what? That sounds pretty good to me. I tell you, it's amazing some of the things that you find out about people that you thought you knew already. But you know what? What I've discovered is that you have always had a servant's heart, a heart to serve, to be an asset to those that you come in contact with. Having said that, to my listening audience, to those who are listening right now, what I need you to do is to, you're going to have to come to a crossroad of who you're going to vote for. And if you're not in our area, residential district number 4, what I'm encouraging you to do is to be a supporter financially, because running a campaign is by no means an easy thing, it's worse without funding. So I'm making a little public service announcement myself that because of our conversation and our dialogue right now with Ms. Shannon Campbell, I'm asking you to find it in your heart to support her on any level that you can. And we'll find out in a little bit as we continue this conversation how you can not only be a part of it, but to go ahead and sign up for it right away. So having said that, Ms. Campbell, let me ask you this. When you are walking Miami Gardens and you're looking around to see what's going on, are there any things that come to your attention as to what might be something that you might want to tackle when you get there? And I realize that as a city council member, you're part of a board. You're part of a group of other politicians who will be guiding our city. But just on a personal, maybe I saw this when I was walking around. Is there anything that you've seen that kind of flags your attention in District 4?
Yes, a couple of things, and I'm glad that's a great question. A couple of things. The first one, in my canvassing, I've encountered a lot of ex-felons. And speaking with them, they were kind of discouraged because they are an ex-felon. But I had to enlighten them on some things that I have and was a big part of as a part of the social justice ministry at Antioch Missionary Baptist Church. I was very instrumental in fighting for getting ex-felons their rights back. So we fought for that, and we are going to have that back on the ballot. So those ex-felons, I will be revisiting them, walking about in my canvassing to let them know, to encourage their family members to vote yes on August 28th, because we want them to be able to get their rights back and vote. So that's number one. And the second thing when I'm out canvassing is I realize there's a lot of seniors, their roofs need repairing, you know, because they're elderly and they have their houses are paid for, so they may not have insurance. So the recent hurricane we had last year and, you know, tornadoes and things happened, so their roofs are damaged. And in speaking to people in this predicament, and they don't have the funds, you know, they're elderly, they're on a fixed income, they don't have insurance. So to address that issue, that's going to be one of my pet peeves when I get on the council. I'm always connecting with people, you know, positive people to make things happen. I have a niche for that. So I've already partnered with a group of grant writers, and once I'm in the seat, we are going to be forming a special grant that's geared towards seniors who are in that predicament that need their roofs repaired and maybe other little small repairs around the house. It's going to be allocated strictly for seniors only.
That's a great idea. You know, I realize that we are, and part of our outreach as well through our church, we see some of the seniors, the storms are coming, they can't put their shutters up, and so we've got a team that goes around and helps put them up and take them down. And so it's important to realize that there's some people who are living alone who are sitting in a place frightened and vulnerable. And just the fact that you are thinking about that, once again, my hat's off to you. Well,
thank you.
Let me do this. Can you give me the location of your website so that we can direct our listeners to where they can volunteer or they can contribute or they can get some information about not only when to vote but where to vote and any updates? So could you share with us your website?
Yes, my website, it's my name, Shannon Campbell Campaign, all one word, .net. And they can visit that, and it'll direct them on how to contribute, you know, if they want to volunteer, and then also where to vote.
Okay, so that's www.shannoncampbellcampaign.net. So that's shannoncampbellcampaign.net. ShannonCampbellCampaign.net. That was pretty good, I think.
You got it.
So as we get ready to close this interview, and certainly I believe that this has been a very productive interview and one that I believe that our listeners have gained a lot of information from, I would like for you to just take a few minutes and to speak directly to the audience and tell them why you're the best choice for this race.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to let you know that if there's ever been a time where we need to vote, that time is now. You got to look around and see what's happening around us. And I know there's a lot going on the national level, but we got to start locally, right here in our own city of Miami Gardens, making things change for the better. So the time has come where I want to do more, and I can do more as a member of the council. My concern is for our community to flourish mentally, spiritually, and financially. I love my city, and the next step of being on the council will provide me that platform to continue some of the good works, great works that have been in place and moving forward. So vote Shannon Campbell, August 28th, or any early voting option. Thank you for your time.
Well, my friends, this is T. Gerard Williams, your host and your executive producer of the What's Happening Miami Garden Show. And we are at the end of our conversation. And having said that, my friends, I'll see you when I see you. Bye-bye now.